Listen to these words. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Those are the words from today's Holy Gospel from John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23. Have I told you that over 40 times in the Gospels, Jesus says that he has been sent from the Father? And now he says that he's sending them. He's sending us. Can you just imagine what must have been going through the apostles' minds? They thought only God could forgive sins. They would be right. God is going to forgive sins, but through them. They're given this authority after they are given the promise and gift of the Holy Spirit. There are some people who question, well, did Jesus give them the Holy Spirit then in the upper room? Or did the Holy Spirit come to them on the day of Pentecost, which we celebrate today? And the answer to that is yes. Let me try to explain it this way. Jesus breathed upon the apostles, and in doing so, I believe that he ordained them to be ministers of forgiveness, but not fully receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like Paul describes in our second reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I can liken it then, if I may, to the ordinations that we have in our churches. When someone is studying to be a priest, and at the end of the process, after graduating from seminary and receiving their Master's of Divinity degree, they are ordained to be a deacon called the diaconate. The word deacon, by the way, comes from the Greek word diakonos, and that means servant. 12 years ago tomorrow, I was ordained a deacon at St. John's Cathedral in Jacksonville, with the bishop bestowing the Holy Spirit upon me with the laying on of hands and anointing with oil, chrism. However, there were things that I could not do as a deacon that I can as a priest. Well, 6 months to a year later, after ordination, at the discretion of the bishop, the deacon once again comes before the bishop and is ordained to the order of presbyter or priest. For me, it was December 11th, 2005, and with the laying on of hands and anointing, but it wasn't just the bishop's hands. When you are ordained to the priesthood, all of the priests that are present come up and lay hands upon you, putting the weight of the church upon you. And trust me, that is an incredibly awesome feeling. The deacon can baptize, can marry people, can bury people, but they cannot, we used to jokingly say, they can't do the ABCs. Absolution, blessing, and consecration. There's a very distinct difference between a deacon and a priest. The priest wears a stole vertically. A deacon wears it diagonally. Well, when the apostles received the Holy Spirit in the upper room from Jesus, this was not the same manner in which they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In the upper room, Jesus gave his breath to them. The Hebrew word is ruach. By the way, it's also the word for spirit. They received his breath, his spirit, enabling them to get out of the upper room and follow him to the Galilee, where he made breakfast for them on the shore of the Sea of Galilee in John chapter 21. And it's there where he asked Peter 3 times if he loved Jesus and transformed him, by the way, from a fisherman into a shepherd. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep. Undoing the 3 denials. Jesus also spoke to them atop a mountain in the Galilee. And you know the words from Matthew chapter 28. Let me read them to you. Verses 17 to 20, where Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. This was before Jesus ascended to the Father, as we remember on Ascension Thursday, on the 40th day of his resurrection. On that 40th day, before he left the Mount of Olives and went to heaven, Jesus further defined his expectations of the apostles and told them that in just days, they would receive the full anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." By the way, ends of the earth, that's Douglas. It even is Waycross, Coffee County and beyond. Go figure, huh? And after this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. That's from the first chapter of Acts, verses 8 and 9. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, who we also call the Comforter, the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. He was just days away from that 43rd day after Passover when Jesus ascended. All they had to do now was just wait. Pentecost is not a Christian holiday. It's also known as Shavuot, or the festival or feast of weeks. It was the 50th day after Passover. It was an agricultural festival when farmers brought the first sheaf of wheat from their crop and offered it to God as a sign of gratitude and as a prayer that the rest of the crop would be safely harvested. Now, both Passover and Pentecost, or Shavuot, brought to mind great memories of the story of the Exodus from Egypt, when God fulfilled his promises made to Abraham by rescuing his people. Passover was a time when the lambs were slain, and people would recall that they were saved by the blood of the lamb. And also the time when the Israelites were saved from the angel of death who killed firstborns of the Egyptians. The Israelites on that very night passed through the Red Sea into the Sinai Desert. Then 50 days after that night, after Passover, they came to Mount Sinai, where Moses received the law, the Ten Commandments. And that became Shavuot, the day of Pentecost. And on that day that they celebrated, that day the apostles were gathered in one place, as our scripture tells us today from the second chapter of Acts. Suddenly a sound, the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. My goodness. I think it's very important for us to know that the Hebrew word for wind is the same word for breath and spirit. The very same word, ruach. And would you be surprised to know that the word for holy is hakodesh? You're getting a Hebrew lesson this morning. And if you put together holy, hakodesh, and ruach, the ruach hakodesh is the Holy Spirit. The Greek word pneuma, it means to breathe, blow, the wind. And it's important to note that the breath or spirit, which is like the wind, is invisible, immaterial, and powerful. More was to happen to the apostles that Pentecost as they were further ordained by the Holy Spirit. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were not only ordained that day fully, but they were transformed, being filled with what we call gifts of the Holy Spirit. and their fear and their doubts were removed from them and replaced with a boldness that would allow them to bear a powerful witness to the truth about Jesus and his resurrection, and to 3,000 people that very first day, as a sign that this was like the first sheaf which was offered to God as the sign of a great harvest to come. That boldness and power that they received was especially evident and witnessed by those who heard them speaking in the languages of the many visitors that day who were in Jerusalem for the festival of Shavuot or Pentecost. Peter would boldly witness to the crucifixion of Jesus and proclaim that he is still alive. Later in that same second chapter of Acts, Luke wrote that Peter's message was so powerful and so clear that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow, that's a mega church. 3,000. That day it became evident that apostles were transformed from followers to leaders of what would become the church. And that's why Pentecost Sunday is called the birthday of the church. And we recall that by wearing red. Our church is decorated in red. The red vestments today and the red that all of you are wearing. It's an amazing blessing. The power that came or comes from the Holy Spirit, the wind, the ruach, was life-changing. Not only for those apostles, but also for those who would hear of the message about Jesus of Nazareth and eternal life that he offers to all who believe in him. For each believer, it becomes more important that they receive the Holy Spirit and receive from the Holy Spirit, who will transform from a listless or lifeless believer into a person whose heart is on fire for the love of God. Now, the whole point that I'm trying to make here is that through the Holy Spirit, the creative power of God himself comes from heaven to earth and does its work right here in our midst. The point is to transform the earth with the power of heaven, starting with those parts of the earth which consist of bodies, minds, hearts, and lives of the followers of Jesus Christ as a community, the church, also called the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, Luke puts the emphasis on the fact that they were all together in one place, and the Holy Spirit came not to divide, but to unite. The coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost fulfills Jesus' promise, and the Holy Spirit will comfort and counsel, giving us the words to speak in witness to Jesus, guiding the believers in Jesus. I want to add something that about a week ago at our Tuesday night Kiwanis meeting, a gentleman who is very well known and goes next door to the Baptist church came to me and he said, "Father John, I have a Sunday school lesson to teach on Sunday and I'm very afraid. I'm afraid I'm not going to have the words to say." So we prayed. And just this past Tuesday night, he came over to me, grabbed my hand, and he says, "You're not going to believe what happened." And I said, "Oh, yes, I am." And he said, "When I got there, the fear was gone, the words were there, and it was probably the best lesson that I've ever been a part of. Not that I taught, but I've been a part of." I'll tell you, he was absolutely, absolutely taken up by the Holy Spirit. He gives us the words to speak when we need them, when we ask him. We can speak about Jesus, guiding believers of Jesus. That day of Pentecost, the whole body of believers in Jesus, the Messiah, was transformed into a new creation in which heaven and earth are joined together. And indeed, that day became the fulfillment of the kingdom of God is at hand. Alleluia, alleluia, and amen.